From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to this number one rated late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. Later tonight, open lines. Here's what's happening. Well, there's a company called CRF Frozen Foods, and they've announced that they are expanding a voluntary recall of frozen organic and non-organic fruits and vegetables because of possible health risks. The company issued the recall in cooperation with the FDA because the products might contain listeria. Listeria is a very serious infection caused by eating food contaminated with this bacteria. Products include organic and non-organic broccoli, squash, carrots, cauliflower, just about everything made from this company, CRF. So take heed there. Nearly a third of antibiotics prescribed in doctors' offices, emergency rooms, and hospital-based clinics in the United States are not needed, according to the most in-depth study yet to examine the use and misuse of these life-saving drugs. The finding, which has implications for antibiotics' diminished efficacy, translates to about 47 million unnecessary prescriptions given out each year across the country to adults and children. Most of these are for conditions that don't respond to antibiotics, such as colds, sore throats, bronchitis, flu, and other viral illnesses. Overprescribing, as Dr. Peter Bregan would say. A groundbreaking trial to see if it's possible to regenerate the brains of dead people has won approval from Health Watch Dogs. The company in the United States has been granted ethical permission to recruit 20 patients who have been declared clinically dead from brain injury and to test whether parts of their central nervous system can be brought back to life. Scientists will use a combination of therapies, which include injecting the brain with stem cells and a cocktail of peptides, as well as deploying lasers and nerve stimulation techniques, which have been shown to bring patients out of comas. How about that? Texas Senator Ted Cruz cleared the path Tuesday night for Donald Trump to claim the Republican presidential nomination, suspending his campaign following a crushing defeat in the Indiana primary tonight, allowing the billionaire businessman to effectively leave the primary behind and turn his attention now squarely to the general election. He doesn't have all the delegates needed yet, but he's on his way. While a Trump-Hillary Clinton matchup now appears to be inevitable, Senator Bernie Sanders kept the race alive on the Democratic side Tuesday night in Indiana by pulling off a projected upset victory in that state. First, let's check in with OnlineColumnist.com's Dr. John Curtis. Are you going to say I told you so? I guess you are.
No, I'm not going to go there. But, I mean, George, I mean, this is a phenomenon. I mean, especially Bernie beating Hillary again. And I want to tell you that the surprise of this election season, not just Trump, it's really how a 74-year-old guy from Vermont can compete with the Clinton political machine and a name brand and upender. Now, what that tells you, George, is that Hillary has a lot of negatives, and there are a lot of people that don't like her and will not back her in the Democratic Party. Even though you'd think they'll jump in the general election back to Hillary, that is not the case, because the one thing people want in this election cycle in 2016 is they want to throw the bums out, start over again, blow it up, let's, you know, come back with something fresh, something new, because Washington is broken. It's not working. And that is the mood of the electorate. And Trump personifies that. The non-politician, businessman, basically, who is, as Cruz pointed out, and he's been hit with the knockout punch, and I don't think anybody expected this, or too many people expected he'd drop out this quickly. Of course, the reason for that is that he ran out of cash. His donors pulled the plug on him weeks ago, and he was mounting massive debt. Yeah. He had to pull out. But the real story of Trump's victory right now is the public essentially telling Washington that you are done, and we need something new coming into D.C. And that's why I think that when you consider that 40% of the electorate are independent voters and not aligned with either party, I think that the prevailing narrative that somehow Hillary is the odds-on favorite to win this could not be further from the truth. I think this election is Trump's to lose, and I think that if he performs as well in the general as he's done in the primaries, I think he's well on the way in November to become the next president.
All right, we shall see. John Curtis, thank you so much. Next up, of course, Howard Bloom. Let's get Howard's perspective on just what's going on. Cruz is out, Howard. Were you surprised?
Yes, actually I was. It was a night of miracles. I mean, I agree with everything that John just said, but the fact is Ted Cruz dropping out this early, that was a shock. Bernie Sanders had let go of approximately 225 members of his staff, and he was being begged during the last week to drop out and give a clear field to Hillary Clinton. Well, guess who won tonight? He won tonight. So this has been the year of the outsiders, the insurgents, as John just implied, and two insurgents won tonight. Donald Trump is an insurgent. Bernie Sanders is an insurgent. But there are some other things that nobody noticed. It was the night, and John almost touched on this, it was the night of the grandfather effect. We have a tendency to rebel against our parents, and then we embrace the views of, guess who, our grandparents.
That's right.
Well, all three leading candidates are 69 years old or older. That's Bernie, of course, is the oldest, 75. Donald Trump is 70 years old. Hillary Clinton is the youngest at 69. So, I mean, even John Kasich.
There's hope for all of us, Howard.
Yeah, he comes in as a child. I mean, there's a friend of mine, Barbara Marks Hubbard. She's one of the founding mothers of the New Age movement.
Know her well.
She hit me with a statement a month ago in a conversation. She hit me with a word, regenopause, which means you're not just having menopause and getting older. Every day you live, you're getting old, younger. And Bernie has not just won the youth vote. He's won the vote all the way from 17 years old to 64 years
old. Well, that sounds like you're not counting Bernie out, though, are you?
I'm not counting Bernie out because what I would love to see, you know, I'm a Democrat. What I would love to see is Bernie's platform, which is clear, understandable, and addresses major problems in America, applied as the platform of the Democratic Party, even if it's Hillary Clinton who wins.
All right, Howard, we're going to keep checking in with you because, well, you know what? It ain't over yet, as they say. Seven of the world's biggest banks have agreed to pay $324 million to settle a private U.S. lawsuit accusing them of rigging an interest rate benchmark used in the $553 trillion derivatives market. Wow, what a deal there. Georgia's Republican governor vetoed a bill allowing concealed handguns on college campuses, rejecting the proposal that a legislature controlled by his own party had easily approved in an election year. Earlier this year, scientists presented evidence for Planet 9, a Neptune-sized mass planet in an elliptical orbit 10 times farther away from our sun than even Pluto. And since then, theorists have puzzled over how this planet could end up in such a distant orbit. New research examines a number of scenarios and finds that most of them have low probabilities. Therefore, the presence, they say, of Planet 9 still remains a mystery. Our science advisor, Robert Zimmerman, of course, noted author as well. What else is going on in space these days, Mr. Zimmerman?
Well, I would say, George, the most important thing is if you want to go to Mars right now, you now know how much it'll cost to buy a rocket flight to do it. Because this week, SpaceX updated its webpage. They have a site. They have a webpage on their main page that tells you their price options for various choices of buying their rockets. And unlike a lot of other companies, they make it very simple. They just say, this is what the cost is. I mean, they literally say, we offer open and fixed pricing for Falcon 9 and Falcon Heavy launch services, and modest discounts are available for contractually committed multi-launch purposes. They seem straightforward. For $90 million, you can purchase a Falcon Heavy launch, which could get you to Mars. In fact, for only $62 million, you can buy a Falcon 9 rocket. That's the one where they're able to land the first stage to reuse it. For only $62 million.
Let's go, Robert.
A small payload in Mars.
We're on our way.
Yeah, I would say so. The Falcon Heavy hasn't launched yet, but that they've put these new prices up now, George, suggests that their scheduled first test launch of Falcon Heavy is going to happen this year. They're getting very close. And when that happens, they'll, by the way, try to land all three first first. It's got three first stages of Falcon 9 as the first stage of Falcon Heavy. Imagine the launch, and all three first stages will come down separately on either on a barge or on the landing pad. That's going to be really cool when that happens, and you can go to Mars with it.
Track Roberts' website, BehindTheBlack.com. Well, the Rolling Stones, Paul McCartney, and Bob Dylan have all been confirmed for the lineup of a mega festival this October called Desert Trip. The three-day event will take place at the Empire Polo Field in Indio, California, the site of the Coachella Music Festival. Boy, they bring in that kind of talent. That's amazing. Talking about talent, up next, Craig Hewlett joins us. We'll talk about the election primaries, the Middle East, the nut in North Korea, and so much more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, where we are heard in just about every corner of this planet. George Norrie with you, and our special guest for the next couple hours, Craig Hewlett. Craig, of course, has been a speechwriter, special assistant for special projects to the late Congressman Jack Metcalf. He has been a consultant to federal law enforcement, of course, appears quite often on our program as we talk about world events, and we're bringing him back now because it's time. Craig, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you for having me on, George, as always.
What a night in Indiana, huh?
Not entirely unpredictable.
Nope.
I don't think Ted Cruz, he never appeared to me the kind of a guy that was going to be willing to slug it out with the likes of Donald Trump. Neither did Rubio, neither did Jeb Bush. None of them did, actually, to be honest with you. I think a lot of the things that we're seeing are caused by, and I think we can blame all of this, both Bernie Sanders and Trump, and I say blame, I mean that facetiously, on the American people. If nothing else, you and myself and Carl Nelson in D.C. And a number of hosts that have stuck with me for almost 40 years, I think the American people finally are fed up with what happens in the White House. And to be honest with you, I don't really care who wins, but I'm glad the American people are fed up. The only problem now is they were fed up with Obama. They were fed up once with Bush Sr. They were fed up with the Clintons. Then they got fed up with George Bush Jr. So this kind of isn't very new that we get fed up. That was what Samuel P. Huntington authored in his book on democracy, The Promise of Disharmony. That part of the title, The Promise of Disharmony, was an outline by him to spell out precisely what we're seeing. When the creedal passions erupt in the electorate, we give them a candidate to vote for, to throw the rascals out and put someone new in, new, different, a different Democrat, a different Republican, and then, of course, absolutely nothing changes.
You know what was interesting to it? I'm not going to take anything away from Trump because what he has done has been dramatic, very dramatic. But with all the candidates that were in originally, as the Republican list grew and grew and grew, they really couldn't field a great candidate to take off and run with it. You needed an outsider like Trump to come in who had his pulse on the public more so than anybody else. And look at what's happening. But why couldn't the Republicans, Craig, field a great Republican candidate?
Well, they thought they already had that in the bag. I mean, for years and years, going all the way back to George Jr., they were convinced that by backing Obama and him becoming the president, and they actually, this was said in a number of interviews. I repeated it over and over again. 8 years of Obama, every single thing that's wrong in the country would be blamed on Obama, a black liberal Democrat, and the Republicans knew it would be a shoe-in. Unfortunately, in this case, fortunately in my opinion, the elite miscalculated that the public wasn't exactly as stupid and malleable, and Jeb Bush didn't get the bell. But that's what they were counting on. And actually, that is true, that part. Trump is blaming everything on Obama and Hillary Clinton. He says nothing bad about the Bush family, senior or junior. In fact, Donald Trump has bragged for decades that he's a Bush man.
Can we rule out the possibility that Jeb Bush won't pop up at that Republican convention in Cleveland?
No, I don't think it's possible now because it would have to be a contested convention, and that's over. That's not going to happen. I don't think Cruz welcomed the idea of the drubbing. You know, I could tell. I do a lot of work with unusual people in different fields of activity.
Yes, you do.
And I do understand people pretty well. I can judge a person somewhat by how they act, how they behave, their eye movement, their gestures when they're talking or trying to give a speech. And none of the candidates, except Jeb Bush, were prepared to even handle a rough and tumble convention. None of them. I could see the weakness in every single one of them, except Jeb Bush. But fortunately, the public was fed up enough, and you know, I hope you and I may have had a little bit to do with Jeb Bush not winning it, because we constantly put out a drumbeat that Jeb Bush was supposed to be the shoo-in by the elite. So if nothing else, the elite got snubbed. But unfortunately, I'm going to repeat this. In the end, whether Hillary Clinton becomes president or Donald Trump becomes president, on all the issues that matter, nothing will change.
And see, that is the most disappointing aspect of all of this, because people are grasping with Donald Trump, hoping he's going to change the economy, fix the Internal Revenue Service, do what he has to do about illegal immigration. And you're right, he may not be able to do any of this.
Well, he can't. As president, he can't do any of it. He still needs the 535 civilian contractors that work for the corporate world that dominates our system. We still have that corporate empire in place. Now, they don't get to have their choice of who gets to be president this time, although I do know a lot of neoconservatives that were Bush fans, Bush followers, Bush people, actually. And I'll repeat, Donald Trump used to say, I'm a Bush man, and I am the establishment. So this idea that he's really outside the establishment isn't exactly true, if you understand what I'm talking about. He's always been an insider funding the Republican Party and that establishment of elites. He wants in. He isn't in yet. But getting the presidency, yes. He'll be in then. Just like before this, 8 years ago, Obama was nobody.
He came from nothing. He just popped up.
He was a freshman senator that never actually cast a vote as a senator that counted.
I knew.
He became the president. But I'll repeat. I said this immediately after he was elected. He will disappoint the American people. Everybody that voted for him, he will not do anything he said he was going to do, and when he leaves the White House, he will, over the next few years, become the richest black man in the world.
Well, more power to him if he can pull it off. I knew in 2004, when he was giving the Democratic keynote address, that they had plans for this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Because how unusual is it, Craig, that the keynote speaker then becomes the front runner 4 years later for the presidency? They had this plan, didn't they?
They always have it planned. They're not without a plan with Donald Trump. You know, I hope people understand this. When Donald Trump said he's an outsider and he's not part of the establishment, that he's a renegade, very little of that's true. He just never ran for office, and he has no track record.
That's right.
For running for office or being elected to office. But he was never outside the Republican Party as a funder, as a backer, as a speaker, as a promoter. And he bragged about it for decades that he felt that he was the establishment's man. He was a Bush man to the core. But nobody expected him to run for office either. But that's what a narcissist does.
When we come back, Craig, I want to talk about Hillary Clinton. I want to get your take on what's going on in the Middle East with Assad in Syria, with the buzzing of our other jets by the Russians. I want to get your take on that. And, of course, the lunatic at the button of the nukes in North Korea. We'll talk about all that, too. Craig's website, that's his name, CraigBHewlett.com, linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com, so you don't even have to worry about spelling it out. You just go to coasttocoastam.com and click the link. He's also a noted author, The Hydra of Carnage. And, of course, don't forget to like us on Facebook, where we have gone through another milestone and And follow us on Twitter, because we send out daily a number of different quick blips of information that you should be a part of. And always go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, every day, a couple times a day, to get the latest news and information. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast to Coast. Craig Hewlett with us. And, of course, we're going to take calls with Craig next hour here on Coast to Coast. Craig, before we move into some other areas, your take then on Hillary. She's just going to plod along and get enough delegates, won't she?
Well, Bernie just did an interview, and you know, I thought he was going to say something a little more important. He said that I've won 70% of the vote in 16 states. And she gets all the delegates, and he said, that's not fair. Not fair? I think that is an indication that the Democratic Party, a little bit in a different way than the Republican Party, but both parties are totally and completely corrupt. That's the problem, is that the delegates are going to vote for Hillary because it was already decided Hillary is going to be the next president for the Democratic Party. How do we know that? Nobody else ran.
Nobody ran.
Remember what you said earlier?
Mm-hmm.
How many people lined up to run on the Republican Party ticket?
That's right.
Biden, the vice president. And the vice president always gets the nod. Not even Biden ran. The only real throwback here is Bernie. And the only thing he has to say to the American people is that it's not fair. No, it's totally and completely corrupt. And we're going to see the Republican convention just how corrupt that is when it comes around. All I can tell you is, if you think that Trump or Hillary or Bernie can fix what's wrong in America, then you've completely missed the boat of what's going on in this country and who actually runs the country now.
This is going to be a nasty campaign. Craig, Jerry Corsi is going to be coming out with a book soon about the Clinton Foundation, and he said it's going to rocket. And you know what? Who knows what's been going on
there? Yeah, there's so much criminal activity on the Clinton side, but, you know, there was in the past with the Bush family. Those things really don't take the public by storm. And in the end, it would still be up to the already decided delegates. They keep calling the superdelegates undecided.
They're not undecided.
They've already decided. That's why they're going with Hillary.
That's right.
I don't understand the language, but here's something I do understand. The minute it came up about the 28 pages during the campaign, and that the victims, the families of the victims of 9/11 are not being allowed to sue the Saudi government,
right,
when the victims against the Iranian government were allowed to sue the Iranian government and are actually collecting on it,
mm-hmm,
in frozen funds. Yet you can't sue the Saudis, but you can sue the Iranians for almost exactly the same kind of misdeeds. But then immediately, CIA Director John Brennan comes out in an interesting, in a very short piece in the Associated Press. He says that the 28-page chapter, he just called it a chapter of the inquiry, it contains preliminary information about possible Saudi links to the attackers that hadn't been corroborated or checked,
yes,
at the time.
He was putting all that down, wasn't he?
Wait a minute. If it hadn't been corroborated or checked out at the time, why was it classified immediately?
Exactly.
That's just stupid arguments, okay? But then he goes on to say this. He said that the preliminary information made a very clear judgment there was no evidence indicated the Saudi government as an institution or Saudi officials individually financially backed Al-Qaeda.
Why would he say that?
Al-Qaeda didn't do it.
Unbelievable. Why did he say that?
It doesn't matter if you could say the Saudi officials didn't back Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda didn't do 9/11. Bin Laden didn't do 9/11. The Bush administration blamed Bin Laden, which was a perfectly sound judgment by the part of the Saudis. That's what they wanted to have happen, that the Bush administration would go after Bin Laden and Saddam Hussein, their long-term enemies in the region.
And that's exactly what we did.
And we obediently did it. So now Brennan comes out and says that you'll find no evidence that they financially backed Al-Qaeda. That's the whole point, Brennan. We're saying Al-Qaeda didn't do it. that we're saying is the Saudis did it. He's saying you have no evidence that the Saudis backed al-Qaeda. Of course not. They hated al-Qaeda, and they hated bin Laden. He was an enemy of the state. So anyways, I guess my point here is we're never going to be told the truth by the system as it exists. And I know so many of you out there want Bernie Sanders to win. And I think Bernie, if he were to win, if Hillary were to just get overwhelmed, this book, for instance, overwhelms the Clintons with so much illegal criminal wrongdoing, so much selling of State Department votes to get arms to foreign governments that shouldn't have been armed, but if they gave money to the Clinton Foundation, they got the go-ahead from Hillary's State Department to be armed. Now, these things are criminal. If that happens and Hillary loses, then we get Bernie. And I do believe Bernie is a sincere man.
Maybe that's why he's staying in.
I believe you're right. I think that is why he's hanging in there. He's kind of like old school, like I am. It ain't over till it's over.
That's right.
That was a catcher with a Yankee.
One more question about Cruz, and I want to talk to you about these Russian jets that have been buzzing our planes. But why did Cruz get out? Because you think he ran out of money? Because you know, he could have hung in there and at least become an issue at the convention.
Well, what would have happened, Jeb Bush already went public a few days before that and said that Jeb Bush came out public and said he wanted to see a contested convention. And that was meaning, Cruz, you have to stay in the race. And I don't think it was a money issue. It's never a money issue if it's a contested convention. I'm not going to blame him for this. I don't blame anybody for getting out of the race when it's going to get this ugly. Not everybody's made up of the stuff to do that kind of battle verbally when they start saying, you know, your father knew something about the JFK assassination,
right.
Your mother, when it starts getting ugly, a lot of people don't have the stomach for it. I've seen it too often. It affected the guy I worked with, Jack Metcalf. When things got ugly, it was very hard for him to stay in. And each election, every 2 years, no matter how ugly, because he was very much like Bernie Sanders in many ways. He's a very kind, Christian, loving man, father, very genteel, old school. But he had a tough crew backing him. He had some tough people on his crew, and they helped moderate some of that. So he stayed in the fight. I'd be very surprised if Bernie quit.
No, I don't think he will.
I think Bernie's a tough little bugger.
He's going to go to the convention.
He's going to take it to the wall.
Yeah, so will, and I don't know why he's in, but Kasich is going to take this all the way to the wall, too. Why?
Well, again, it's a lost cause, and if you're a man like I am, I suppose, I don't mind taking on lost causes. Isn't there a Catholic medallion for that, Saint somebody?
I'm sure there is.
Saint for lost causes. I'm pretty sure I fit into that category. So I don't have a problem with those kinds of people. But I do believe that the pot's been stirred, and Brennan just shot across the bow of everybody. Nobody's going to go after Saudi Arabia, no matter who's in the White House.
Oh, by the way, it's Saint Jude Thaddeus you're talking about.
Okay.
There you go. Well, we have all kinds of information here for you. So,
anyways, I think you're not going to see any fundamental change. I'm sorry to be the one guy that says it the way it is, but I can't bring myself to be popular by saying that good things might happen. I don't believe so. I don't believe the White House is built to take the ship of state and change its course.
No, I think so.
We already know, admittedly, your listeners have to know pretty well, that we are governed by a corporate global empire that has no relationship what happens here domestically.
Corporate taxes will get slashed even more, and then the average American will end up paying more.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
In the end, the people who pay will pay. And don't forget, back in the woodwork, brewing back in the woodwork is something that I've always talked about quietly amongst my own people, not always publicly. But if they want to silence the American people, if the American people get revolutionary, if the American people truly get fed up and they're in the streets, not only will Homeland Security and the military be there to make sure the violence doesn't spread, but they have it in the works. They're talking about it right now. This may be the first time some of your listeners have heard it, except that they've heard me before. There is a plan to grant everybody over the age of 18 a universal guaranteed income.
That is an interesting twist. Okay, Russian jets, why are they buzzing us? What's going on here?
I just watched Putin in a discussion forum in the European Union. It was translated, and I watched him for the full 20 minutes that he spoke. Vladimir Putin does not want a war with the West. He wants peace with the West. But I watched his body language and how he approached the issues. He's also telling the American people, if you're listening to him at all, you know, I do not want war. I want peace. I want America and Russia and China to sit down, talk to each other, come to an agreement, and see to it that all nations' national interests are discussed. All nations' national interests are discussed. Now, you and I know that that's not going on today. The corporate empire that's leading the Western hegemony throughout the world has no interest in what the people of Syria, Libya, the Congo, Nigeria, they don't care what anybody thinks.
See,
they don't care what the leaders think.
I think some Russian generals are taking over.
I don't think they're taking over. I think...
calling the shots?
No, I think Putin... Nobody calls the shots on Putin. Don't ever believe that story.
Okay.
Putin is fully in charge. But Putin will allow it to look as though, you know, maybe this particular general may have misunderstood, but he didn't. He got the message.
He got the message. I mean, they're buzzing us.
A message.
They're buzzing us on purpose.
Go to war.
He will if he has to.
Yes, he will go to war. And I think that is a real threat for the American people, because any kind of large, conventional, world-type war, whether it's Russia, China, or both, America will lose.
This time around.
We will lose this time around. First of all, why do you think John Kerry, for the first time in 8 years of the Obama administration, Kerry is out saying that he's not comfortable with an all-volunteer army any longer? He believes we should be looking at the draft.
Draft again.
And drafting young women at the same time. I guarantee you Trump will be really hard to manage if he's in the White House and they want to institute the draft. Now, that's the one thing that I know Trump could buck.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough for Congress to go against him. Hillary, on the other hand, are you kidding me? She would love to see the draft, and she would love to see young women drafted and sent into combat. That's who she is.
I think the tensions between Russia and China towards us is going to get worse.
Yes, but I agree, because, like I said, no matter who goes into the White House cannot change the direction of the corporate regime that already commands the control of the House, the Senate, and
now,
the Cabinet.
The regime that Eisenhower warned us about years ago.
Yes, that regime. The one that Dave Lincoln talked about as a corporate entity, that it would steal the rights of the people and use their money to seize control of the government. The oligarchy, Teddy Roosevelt said, was unabiding in his mind, that it could not function on American soil, because he saw wealth like Donald Trump's wealth, like Dick Cheney's wealth. He referred to them as enlarged pawnbrokers.
What now? What's going on with the whack job in North Korea? If Iran kept telling us we're going to obliterate you and sent us videos of nuclear explosions showing our cities blowing up, I think we'd do something about it. Why aren't we doing anything with this guy?
Well, because he has no capability of doing any of these things.
Today?
In his Middle Ages kind of thinking, he is very primitive in his thinking. It's what keeps him in power, by keeping his own citizens cowed, that he's the only one that can save them. And they look to him in hero worship in that regard.
Yeah.
So a lot of it's just smoke and mirrors. And we're not taking it serious, because, to be honest with you, I don't think China will ever let him get out of control. Ever.
Are we banking on that?
We don't have to bank on it. the corporate regime that controls most of the world right now is a Western corporate for-profit regime that China is in lockstep with. They do not have a problem with it. Their corporatism as state-owned enterprises is in perfect alignment of our corporatism here in the West.
So they let him play with his little missiles and let him do his thing.
Yeah, because it's also effective as of keeping America and Americans, the people, paying attention to him, the North Korean, as opposed to what's happening in the Pacific Ocean, in the islands, in the sea, Japan, that entire contested region with China is building up an enormous naval force to defend. And that's the one thing that bothers me of all. If nothing bothers me going on. I know what our regime is. I know what the corporatism has in mind for our future. I know Trump can't fix it. Hillary won't fix it. And Bernie Sanders will not make the election. But I do know this. China and Russia and India, South Africa, BRICS, Australia, maybe even Germany, are taking all of this very seriously. They are expecting a conventional war confrontation with the corporate regime that I'm describing, not with America, per se. It's not with you and I. There's no hatred towards the American people being discussed here. This is strictly at Russia, China, and other countries that have joined them in the BRICS nation, those 11 nations, they're getting sick of being pushed around by this corporate regime that runs the Western Empire that does not represent America.
Unfortunately, we're going to get pulled in on it.
Yeah, because we're the ones that will get drafted and sent to war.
That's right.
That's the problem. But the American people will be lied to, and they will be told that this is something, you know, China and Russia against us as America. It isn't. Syria was a line in the sand. The Ukraine was a line in the sand against the corporate Western hegemony of the World Trade Organization, the World Bank, the IMF, Bank for International Settlements, NATO, and the Pentagon acting as a spear point of that corporate regime. It's about that, not us, not America. It's about that. And if we don't grow up, and if we don't fix it ourselves as citizens, if we don't make Congress fix that, no president has that capability.
Don't you think it would have been easier for Assad to simply say, I'll be in the club. I'm okay with it. Instead of fight it.
Assad didn't have any choice. He was about to go the way of Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein.
That's right. So, and he still may.
And he still may. But Russia stepped in and said, we've had enough of American hegemony conspiring for regime change in areas of the world that don't concern you. So stay out of Syria.
Russia saved his tail.
Yes, Russia saved his tail. But at the same time, Putin did say, I don't really care if Assad survives or not. This is not about Assad. This is about the national interest of Russia and the Syrian people. And he wasn't going to see another domino fall in the Middle East or North Africa because of Western corporate hegemony. In other words, Goldman Sachs, Halliburton, Brown & Root, General Electric, he said that's enough.
Enough. And you know what's so strange, Craig, and we're almost at the top of the hour. We'll talk about it again next hour. It seems like every country we get involved in, it gets screwed up later on. I mean, Iraq is still out of control. Car bombings, all this, it never ends.
That's because there was never an effort to do anything in behalf of the Iraqi people.
Nothing.
Assad's people, the Syrians, the people of Libya. The people are never part of this. There's no democracy in anybody's head, okay?
Craig, stay with us. We'll come back. Final hour. Phone lines are open, and we'll continue chatting with Craig Hewlett on Coast to Coast AM.